Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I am here with my mum and I'm a bit tired.
Why, darling?
I shot something all last night. I was a bit terrified about the fact that I haven't slept that much. I was eating pasta at 5 in the morning, 4 and 6 in the morning, who knows, as my breakfast. It's all a bit cloak and dagger at the moment, but I'm absolutely zonked. And I don't feel like today was the right day to be zonked for these particular guests that we've got.
No, I think we need to be on our mettle.
On our mettle. We have two of the biggest heavyweights in intergenerational broadcasting here. We have Michael Whitehall.
Yeah.
And Lenny Ware.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jack.
No, Mum. This is the clash of the titans. Who is the bigger diva, Michael Whitehall or Lenny Ware?
Who is the bigger curmudgeon?
That's... What's a curmudgeon?
A curmudgeon is a miserable sod.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what Jack and I think.
We'll see who gets the prize for the biggest curmudgeon.
Let's see. Well, I think we know who is good cop and who is bad cop. Hillary is absolutely good cop.
Yeah, she's very happy.
She's jolly and lovely.
Jolly and happy and brings doggy bags with her.
Oh my
actually.
God, that was very funny.
Yeah.
And Michael has said that he's not eating tonight.
I know.
So I don't know whether that's
maybe
part
he'll
of
drink,
the shtick
though.
Or he actually isn't going to eat. We will see whether this is authentic.
Well, we'll see. He might be tempted with a little lamb and rice.
Well, yes. Tell everyone what you're making. So we've got lamb.
I've done my old standby, my Lebanese lamb.
Yeah, love
I've
it.
I've done my big rice cake.
Yeah.
Just to try and impress. And I've done the warm winter salad with aubergine and spinach and tahini.
The last time we did this particular dish was Sandy Toksvig, I think, in series one.
And I don't think I did the warm salad, did
you
I?
You did.
I did.
I loved it.
Okay, and I've also made a tart.
That's kind of a vintage dish now.
Well, now, listen, our lovely friend Judith Ishhorovitz
yes.
gave me quinces from her tree.
Oh.
So I've made a quince.
That was very Sukkot of her.
Well, she left them outside in a bag and I've kept them. They're very furry when you...
Oh, really?
When you yeah, and you have to peel them. And I've made a quince and apple tart tatin.
Oh, yum. I had quince with soused mackerel at the Camberwell Arms and quince and it was so delicious.
Quince is great.
Camberwell Arms is great. I love the Camberwell Arms. I also have forgotten how much I love a cocktail. Like, but to go out and have cocktails.
Do you think I should make cocktails tonight?
I thought you were too tired.
I'm very tired, actually.
What cocktail are you going to make? Right. You never wait to make cocktails. Just do well, champagne. Have, you I'll know where you're do, at with champagne.
I know where I'm at with champagne. Can I thank lovely Steve from Ginger Pig, who gave me my lamb today and then said to me, who have you got tonight then? And I said, Jack... Oh, I know the Whitehalls, good friends. And I said, Steve, you say this every week. I said, do you really know them? He said, no. Always says, give them my love. Say Steve sends his love every week.
Well, I'm very excited about this. This is a big one for us. Jack, Hillary and Michael Whitehall coming up on Table Manners. We have Hillary, Michael and Jack Whitehall here for dinner. We're on Champers.
Not sure about that billing.
Oh, sorry.
Jack Whitehall.
We were going round the table.
Would have been fine.
Mate, you know what I've
no,
had
no,
to
no,
do?
No, it's all right.
It used to be Table Manners with Jessie Ware.
Yeah.
But listen, we realise she is the star, so now it's
obviously.
A co-star. So it's now been rebranded with the series.
Oh.
Table Manners with Jessie Ware. Jessie and Lenny Ware.
Please don't give them any ideas.
Lenny in the corner. So listen, guys, it could be Travels with My Son soon.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Could I just say
Travels
there is
Travels without
some...
my son. Is what I think it's probably more likely to
no,
become.
No, there is actually somebody else here as well.
A cat.
Because I thought, no.
Oh, you brought Winston.
I have.
Oh, Lord,
Winston is here, so I'm going to put Winston over here on the side.
Oh, Winston doesn't work so great on a podcast because he doesn't give a lot.
We will on our photo.
Really looking very dapper.
I mean, visually, he's a great joke.
How old is Winston?
From an audio perspective, Winston really...
Listen, I want to know, how has it been working together? Does it feel like work? Because it does feel like work with Mum and I sometimes. And we have to switch off. And but we have to really
that
be like, we're
so
not going to talk about the podcast.
No,
you look so short. Or I look so tall. I look like Khloe Kardashian.
Sorry. It's because you're on the stage.
I'm on the kiddie still, right. Anyway, how does it feel working together? I mean, did you ever envisage this?
No, I mean, Jack, I think you should kick off because it was your
idea. Are you proud of yourself, Jack?
Yeah, yeah, your fault.
Yeah.
No, most of the time it doesn't really feel like work. It feels like just an extension of our family life, but in front of audiences or television cameras or microphones in this case. But yeah, I'd say it doesn't necessarily feel like hard work ever.
Did you have to be... I'm going to say the word wrong because I'm very tired. Cajoled, like, into doing it.
Yeah, that's I wouldn't use cajoled because it's not my kind of word, but you pronounced it.
Did I do it right?
Thank you. I mean, beautifully.
Thank you.
I would have to say.
But did you? Well, did you?
If you like backhanded compliments, there'll be a lot more.
No, I'll take it. Listen. That first series
was a very was a very unknown quantity.
Okay.
So I think that.
Although we had done that other show, hadn't we? We'd done
Backchat,
which was the first thing we did.
Right, okay.
Which went out on BBC Three, I think it was.
And then two.
Because it was such a success.
I wasn't going to say it,
Jessie. Are you
Jewish?
Because that's what we do.
Yeah.
and then that sort of led to travels with my father.
I mean, you've been everywhere.
Not quite everywhere. There are one or two
quite
that we haven't done.
Where's the place? Where do you want to go?
I mean, I would have loved to have gone to Japan.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. And actually, last night on stage, I said I wanted to go to Rio de Janeiro for Carnival.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and then Jack wrote a line for me, which he made me say.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Because it made
me
sound really weird.
Oh, no, I love this. This is very showbiz. You're Kris Jenner in this. Okay, I like it.
I then had to say in front of 2,000 people, I want a Brazilian.
It was framed with, I said,
I love Brazilian food. I want a Brazilian.
Yes, I want to try the cuisine. I'd love to try Brazilian.
That's
so at least then it's like, at least then it's a double entendre rather than just an entendre.
I need to know, are you prepping these shows? Because when we do a live show, we don't prep. Maybe we should, but like, how much do you prep? Because please, can you give us some words of advice? Because we...
I tell you what we have is we have a skeleton that we then, obviously the fleshing out happens on stage, as it were. But the thing about having a skeleton is that, so for instance, last night we had a section about Robert Pattinson playing Batman and the fact that Jack is playing Clifford the Big Red Dog.
I'm not playing Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Okay, well, sort of.
Did you want to get into
Did you want to do Batman?
What? No, I'm perfectly happy.
But I was saying how wonderful Robert Pattinson is, and we forgot to do it in the first half, so we then had to literally crowbar it into the second half, because it was such a good...
Do you know Robert Pattinson?
Weirdly, I
know his parents. Claire and...
Claire, yes. Yeah. Claire asked me to photograph him when he was 15 because he wanted to do modelling. And I used to take actors' pictures. And then he came back at 17 because he wanted to be an actor. And I should hand over to you because he came and asked you.
He wanted to meet me because I was a legend, obviously, as an agent.
So modest.
And he wanted some advice because he wanted to be an actor. And I told him not to do it. I said, you'll be out of work most of your life, Robert. You're a nice boy.
Oh, God.
Whether you can act or not, I have no idea. Obviously, I wouldn't be interested in taking you on, but I would advise you not to do it.
He was too focused on the career of Christopher Biggins and other, like, quite big stars like that at the time, so he didn't want to take on...
Biggins,
no, he's great.
Yeah.
And so Daddy ended up with Widow Twankey and not Batman.
This was his default position for advice to anybody who wanted to be
Don't
an actor.
Don't go on the stage.
Well, because he, as you said...
Keira Knightley told her to not...
I mean,
you did
my clients... Daniel Day-Lewis did very well. pretty. Colin Firth.
He's done all right. Well. Not bad, yeah.
Michael Fassbender did very well.
Yes.
Gosh, he's gorgeous.
I mean,
as well,
quite a few of them did very well, but the majority of them didn't do well at all. I mean, the majority. There was a boy, I remember, who did a film with Michael Caine, where Michael Caine was playing a Scotsman.
Thank you.
The worst Scottish accent I've ever heard in my life. It was Kidnapped.
Yeah.
Robert Louis Stevenson. And this was the part that everybody wanted, the young man in Kidnapped. So this boy who I'd taken on did that. I saw him 20 years later, working at Turnbull and Asser in German Street. And he was only an assistant there. I went in there to get a shirt, and he was measuring my neck. And then he said, "You are Michael Whitehall, aren't you?" And I said, "Do you remember you used to look after me when I was a film star?" And
did
I said,
you
"Yes,
remember?
Of course I did, Lawrence. How's it all going?" And then I thought, "Oh, why didn't I
not
ask him that?"
Well,
because he's measuring my neck measurement. And that was... More typically, that's what happened to people who want to be actors. They end up not getting anywhere.
So I can
but
just
some do.
Well, I want to know about that conversation that Jack had with you when he was like, "I want to do stand up."
Oh well, I was about to say
when
Jack,
I'm a teenager.
Course, all our children were drip fed the advice, "Do not be an actor."
Yeah.
So he circumnavigated it and said, "I'm going to be a stand up."
Was he funny when he was little?
Very funny.
Quite eccentric.
I mean,
funny.
Slightly funny. Slightly weird.
Why weird?
Well, just very eccentric and strange sometimes.
He was his own man.
But I was made to go to university to do an art history degree. Not an
Where
art
did
history
you go?
Degree.
Where
they
did
said
you go?
I went to Manchester, but they said I needed to go and get a degree because being an actor wasn't a real career and it wasn't secure enough.
I absolutely
so I went
get
to
that.
But then again, I don't know whether there's many jobs in art history.
But wasn't that a perfect place to do your stand-up?
It was
at university?
Perfect, yeah.
Thank you. And also Manchester.
Good
so
fun.
On a Saturday night, he'd go and
fresh
do a gig
meat.
In Liverpool
exactly.
with that voice. If he could survive that, he could survive anything.
That wasn't your thought process at the time, though.
It
you
was.
Just wanted
it was
me
a
to go
whiplash.
And...
Yeah. Mum was okay, got it.
No, but he was amazing because all his friends used to go out with Lash on a Saturday night, and Jack would just quietly disappear and go to a pub in somewhere
Oldham.
Or other. And
in
go
Oldham,
into the,
Burnley.
And stand in the corner of the room, like the madman in the corner of the room, and start doing his.
They were gigs, though. I wasn't just doing it in a pub. I wasn't just going into a pub in Oldham and doing my routine in the corner of a pub punters.
No.
And also to shatter the illusion, I did then go back to meet up with all of my friends and get Lash afterwards.
Yeah.
And I would have to play catch up because I'd been in Oldham.
I was trying to pay you a huge compliment, but it obviously backfired.
He cut his teeth. He learnt his trade.
But so
there.
You're a proper theatrical family?
I'm not sure that we're proper, but we are.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So what does your brother do? Is he in?
No, he works in sort of.
Brand.
Digital part. Branding.
Yeah,
okay.
Social media.
So he escaped it?
Well, except he does look after a bit of Jack's social media-y type stuff. So.
It's a real family affair.
It's
but Molly's, she an actress?
No, Molly's in PR.
Okay.
But works, she has her own business with business partners and looks after various massive companies, so she does documentaries for Netflix and Nat Geo and does Disney Plus. And
very worthy, very worthy films. How much do you wish you had a cheeky little doctor tucked away somewhere?
Yeah.
Well, of course, the rest of my family are doctors.
Doing night shifts. Not even like a day doctor.
I was going to ask Michael if he is a bigger curmudgeon than I am, and Jessie didn't know what the word meant.
She didn't get past cajoled in the dictionary.
She didn't get past
she stopped
on C.
After cajoled.
C-A. Curmudgeon.
So I'm done
get
now.
Get to see you. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, yes. Jessie said, you, what mother. Is a curmudgeon? And I think...
That.
I would describe
it's
you.
It's not a much used word, isn't it, really? It's a bit
No,
Victorian.
It's such a good word, though.
It is
a good
word.
Word. Yeah.
And no, I'm not. No.
Excuse me, please.
How did you two meet? And what was the food that was involved in the first date, if you can remember? Was
there
food?
Well,
can you strangle the cat?
No,
or put Winston on the cat?
Bless.
I was in this nightclub and I was looking for a drink. This girl came over with a tray. And I said, "Could you get me a class or something, and she went off, and then she came back, and we got talking, and then
we're into fantasy.
I took her home with me.
I like this. You know, I'm liking it.
Is this your first wife? He often does this, where he'll start telling a story, and then it'll be like, "Oh no, that was Jane. That was when I met Jane." He genuinely has mixed that up before.
I was married before.
A couple of times.
No, I mean, a couple of times. Once.
A couple of times.
We met at a party, but actually the first food, I mean, because that was a party where you know, probably peanuts and the odd, maybe the odd canopy. Food, though,
but drinks parties were a thing.
The first
they?
Date that we had, there was a little bit of an interlude between the party and the date, which I won't bore you with, but I was a little bit slow coming back to him on the date situation, which meant that he'd given up on me by then, so he then got his secretary to take it over.
Kidding me?
Because he wouldn't take my
calls.
Because
what happened is that Hillary was a young actress and wanted an agent, and Michael wanted
a shag. You only wanted him for his agency.
And so they were both, you know, coming at it from a completely different angle.
Okay. So his secretary rang me and said...
untrue.
His secretary said, "Would you like to have dinner with Mr. Whitehall?"
This is a bit kind of Christian Grey. Okay, got it.
I'd say a bit
with two of his clients. So I said, "Oh, okay." So this was all arranged, and we were going to the Pulo Pot. Do you know the
Pulo? I remember Pulo Pot in Pimlico.
Still there.
Yeah.
Still there.
Yeah. Jill
is
goes.
It?
Yeah. Jill makes
it's very French.
It's very French, and it's still kind of never very... moved really from the 90s.
No. Yeah. Well, I would say 70s.
70s.
It's very dark.
I thought it was so that guy dark. In Cambodia.
Who? Pulo Pot? No, that was Pol Pot.
Pol
okay.
Pot.
It's
in Pimlico.
Yeah, and there is a dish called the Pulo Pot.
We don't serve anyone in glasses.
Yes, because they could be
intellectual. It's a nice place for a date.
It is nice. It's quite dark, but as I said. And then she said, "Oh, Mr. Whitehall's car is in the garage for some reason. Would you be able to pick him up?" And I said, "Well, where does he live?" And they said, "Hammersmith." And I said, "Well, it's not really on my way." Yeah. But anyway, then it wasn't going to be that. So... he got to the restaurant. I then got to the restaurant, thought I was early, but I wasn't. And at that point, I had a black beetle. Very, very sweet.
Very
black,
cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Do you know what a beetle is?
Yes,
Jessie?
Fuck off, mum. Sure? Yes. Excuse my
and
language.
I sat outside listening to something on the radio, and the two clients and Michael were watching me through the window, thinking, what is she doing in the car?
Did it have a broken seat, or was that another car?
No, that was a Morris Minor at that point, yeah. Anyway, I then went into the restaurant.
What about
and
you?
And then someone had been watching you for the last 10 minutes, wondering what you were doing in the car, because it was before mobile phones
or anything. Why did he have somebody else there with him for it?
Because he was scared.
Oh, my goodness.
So he had two of a married couple who were clients.
Scared of what?
She's rejection. A young woman. No, it wasn't rejection. I just... thought it would be a bit odd with our age difference.
It's a double date.
Taking you off to a on your own to some dark restaurant.
You could have chosen a lighter restaurant. Well, it might have been less foreboding.
The couple lived near the Pulo Pot, so they
popped in. Did they peel off?
No, they
live with us.
Oh my god!
They've been in a polyamorous relationship ever since.
Oh my goodness!
My other mummy and daddy.
Yeah. Do you remember what you ate? And did Michael...
Do you know what? I think I did actually order, which was an error. And if you ever go to the Pulo Pot, it was delicious, but there is a dish called the Pulo Pot.
Don't get it.
Well, it's enormous. So I ordered it thinking it would be a little bit of chicken, and this whole chicken arrived
in a pot.
And of course, they'd all ordered other things. So this thing arrived.
You had the whole chicken.
I mean, I ate, you know, a wing. And they said, "Did you not like it?" I said, "No, I loved it, but it's just large."
So what about family dinners? When you became a family, the three kids are there. What was your favourite meal that your parents cooked? And who was cooking?
Hillary was always cooking.
Mm-hmm. Although, I did teach you all to cook. They're far better cooks than I am now. All three of them cook wonderful. And they're
I've
much
seen
more
you flexing your...
Much more adventurous.
I mean, Hillary does a very good Sunday roast, but now Molly does a very good one as well.
She does. And do you know what?
No, I can't answer that
question. No,
I can't answer
that
question.
Who does the best roasties?
Well, yeah, I mean...
You can say that.
No, because I think Molly has learned a lot from Mother, and so...
She's probably notched it up a level.
Okay.
Yeah. You should do more vegetables.
Roasties are best.
Really?
I think he's better than mine now.
Is this the Sleeping Beauty upstairs?
Yeah.
So well, Dr. Andy does the best roast potatoes.
Yeah, he does very good.
I mean,
he's
a
saint.
Single and ready
he's
to
a saint.
Mingle.
Exactly. He's a juggle. He makes roast potatoes. He does nightshades. And he does.
Oh
my God.
So, okay, so what was Hillary making on a midweek cook?
A lot of spag bol. I love a bit of spag bol.
Did you talk about spag bol in your Desert Island Discs, or did I make that up?
You talked
about Gypsy Kings, I remember that, and
Gypsy
that really
Kings.
Like reminded me of our family growing up.
Yeah, I can't think what... I don't think I mentioned spag
Maybe
bol. That's not one that I necessarily remember.
Okay.
Remember that chicken in a pot where you'd stick a whole chicken in a pot and chuck
in
all the
chicken
vegetables?
Poulet pot.
Remember a chicken?
Poulet pot. It's a poulet pot.
That's still got it. You can't buy them anymore.
No, I've got a chicken
brick.
It's like a terracotta brick.
Me too.
Jesus, you two are going to have to go out for some dinners because you're essentially the same person.
Yeah, and put a chicken in that, moist.
With some vegetables, a bit of stock, and leave it.
And it's always delicious.
I think the other thing that we always loved in our family, I've got to say, it was a poi. Not just because
a poi, what,
the
fire?
A pie, no, a pie.
Oh, a
poi.
Chicken and tarragon pie.
Yeah.
You make a banging chicken and tarragon pie.
Yeah.
And Michael, what's your favourite thing that Hillary cooks?
Spam.
It's probably a pie.
Spam. Have we got a very good pie joke?
No, we don't want a pie joke.
I need the pie joke.
Molly's wedding was ruined by the pie joke.
Yeah, right, right. He did a 3-minute joke.
And it didn't go down well?
No,
it
didn't.
It did go very well.
It was a laugh of relief at the end.
Yeah,
because it had been a 3-minute journey with the audience.
The book is brilliant. But the bit that made me laugh so much was Chernobyl. Sorry at your expense.
Yeah. I mean, I'll show you the videos afterwards.
They're not as bad as they sound. They're not.
But I think we had a similar experience when we were all in Mexico.
What with what's it called? Montezuma's Revenge.
Yeah. And we had a room. We ended up booking very, very bad.
No, you
I ended up
bad
booking badly.
With cockroaches. It was horrendous.
I didn't realise we were in the middle of a kind of industrial estate with...
There was a reason why it was available when the whole of the fashion world are on
so
the beach.
So we weren't near the beach at all. We were on the road to Guatemala where they stopped people constantly to check if they were carrying drugs. So we had to try and canvas on Christmas Eve, like
oh my God,
Jesus
Christmas.
And Mary.
Do you remember
yeah.
that nativity song?
No. So we ended up...
That was us on Christmas Eve.
Hannah ended up in a kind of... Like a cloakroom in a...
It was kind of like a yoga silent retreat situation.
Yeah. And then we ended up in one room.
Yeah.
It was in Tulum. Have you ever been there?
No. Don't ever.
The most hateful
Tulum
place I've ever been to.
Tulum is a big holiday destination.
But it's, you can't... No electricity.
In Mexico.
And we ended up in this room where it was very fancy. We all had to share a room.
There was no electricity.
No electricity.
Sounds like White
and
Lotus.
The bathroom was separate from the room. It was the bathroom and the loo and everything. I got unwell.
Oh no!
Did you get unwell?
I don't think we need to talk about bowel movements when we're about to eat dinner.
If you'd read Chernobyl.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Yes. There was a bowel movement to end all bowel movements.
Because he ate in the Chernobyl canteen.
Yeah.
There's a canteen in Chernobyl.
Yeah.
And he ate something called mixed meat.
Yeah.
Mixed meat.
They wouldn't give him the origin of the meat.
Yeah.
But I think
mixed meat.
Well, I didn't want to eat it.
Was it for the
two? Blokes, well, they're actually women, but they look like blokes, who were behind me,
say that,
at the counter.
It's quite rude to the
buffet,
Ukrainian nation, but...
And they had this one thing, you know, to eat, and I said, could you tell me what that is? And she said, meat! And I said, sorry? Meat. I said, yes, could you tell me what sort of meat it is? And she said, mixed meat. And I said, right, so, you know, what's in the mix? Yeah. Which meats? And she said, no, mixed meat. And I said, do you have anything else? She said, no, just mixed meat.
And you,
and you didn't argue with
her. And I said,
her.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I'm sorry. and then we took it to the table.
But the
did
problem
we not?
Was...
There was a camera on him, so he ate it without thinking.
I was watching, I was like, do not put that in your mouth.
Did you eat it?
No.
Why did you not say, don't eat it?
Because
they were filming
Whilst I didn't... I wanted to save him, I also was like, I kind of want to see how this goes as well.
Okay, Jesse, would you have stopped her eating mixed meat? No.
No, but this is the thing I need to know, because, you know... it makes good telly. But has there been any, like, family disputes about you've been like, listen, you've taken it too far, Jack. Like, fuck you. This is enough. I am not a laughing...
I feel like
we've had this conversation where maybe I've pushed her buttons too far, made her do... You know, have you ever had to been like, there needs to be boundaries?
I mean, that was probably the worst time we've had filming. Because... I genuinely thought Daddy was in serious trouble. Yeah. Because, it's now a funny story and I've talked about it on stage and shared it with the world. But at the time, he was in a hospital.
Jesse.
And he got, like, really bad heat stroke. In this tiny little hospital in Chernobyl, which...
Not a great place to be.
If your son ever gets asked to go there, it's not a great placement. No. It's a very, very rudimentary
facility. It was slightly stuck in gear in the 80s when Chernobyl happened, so it's not had much updating since then.
I mean, it probably was very busy in 83, and then it's been
But you had to say, Jack, you need to back off now.
I think that generally happens more in the editorial process than the filming process. I mean, the filming process, they're left to their own devices to sort of freewheel. And I'm not always there, of course.
Yeah.
So I can't enter into it.
Jack had also had his head turned, because when we arrived in the Chernobyl...
By the sir.
By those two guards. Was the radiation.
There was a group of people sitting at the table.
Yeah, I remember you telling me this. I thought,
well, we've got, you know, the locals to talk to at least. And then they turn round. There were about 8 or 10 of them.
I don't know, I wasn't there.
Well, there were quite a bunch of them. And they turn round, and one said to the other, in a northern accent, which I unfortunately
Burnley. We're talking Burnley.
Sorry, I'm chugging this down.
And said, oh my God, this chat, why all? Hi, Jack, how are you doing? And they were all
distracted.
Can we have a selfie?
There's a youth hostel in the middle of Chernobyl that you can stay in.
That is really mean best man behaviour.
Sorry, I'm drinking all this champagne.
No, just drink it.
So Jack, you know, had lost looking after his poor father eating this dodgy meat because he was thinking, I wonder if there are any other fans. What about that couple over there? So, oh, Jack, you big over here. You are big in Chernobyl.
You big in Chernobyl.
The Ukrainian accent, was it?
Yeah.
Would you like to eat something?
I would love to eat something.
Would you like some more nuts or crisps or anything?
I'm very happy where I am.
Okay. I mean, I want to taste the delights of Lenny's cooking. She's a good cook.
You're very sweet.
Lenny, is this going to be your mixed meat recipe?
Mixed meat.
Yeah.
I told you that that's what we wanted in honour of Chernobyl.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I mean, I think I've now found my NBF to end all MBFs, Lenny.
Yeah.
Romanescu. Oh.
When we wrote this book, I wrote it and sent over a load of chapters to Michael and Hillary to look at because I was like, you know, you have been thrown under the bus again a couple of times and it's only right that you get to read it first and see whether it's acceptable. So I sent it to them and then instantly they started firing back thoughts for how they could have a right of reply. My dad was sending through chapters, talking about anecdotes that he could include. I was like, oh, so now you're writing it as well.
Oh, it's collaborative. Yeah, so
Hillary took it one step further though. She then, because there was a Google doc that we shared and that's what we, you know, added in our prose into the book. Hillary started adding recipes.
Yeah, why not?
Well, because it's a holiday book, is why not?
But sorry, one of the holidays in the book is Christmas.
Thank you. I wanted to do my turkey and brine, but you've put me right off now.
But why in a How to Survive a Family Holiday book? It would be weird if you're reading that, and then all of a sudden there's just a recipe for butternut squash soup.
Well, it's quite Nora Ephron, and we like
bloody
that.
Bloody good. Yeah. And also, the thing that has happened is that the reading public have been denied my failsafe go-to marmalade recipe.
Oh.
Love a marmalade. And
it's not in there.
No, it's not in there. Not only did I give them...
give her that one thing.
Not only did I give the marmalade recipe, but I then gave 10 things to do with marmalade.
Okay, so you haven't had the chance to have it in the book. So tell the listeners, these are foodie listeners, what you would do, the 10 things you would do with marmalade.
For a start, you can put it in a marinade for mixed meats.
Yes, that's true. Chicken marmalade. It's very nice.
Can I just say marmalade with mustard or seeded mustard with garlic?
Gorgeous.
Or you can put it into a sort of soy saucy, kind of coriandery type mix. You can make ice cream with it. Marmalade ice cream. To die for.
Oh my God, I've never...
Die for.
I've never thought about that.
It's amazing.
I have a card from Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yep.
Saying, dear Hilary and Michael, Hilary, that was the finest marmalade ice cream I have ever had in my entire life.
Or
indeed...
So good.
The only marmalade ice cream.
Well, we've just got our teaser for the episode.
Hello.
Right there.
Hello.
Hilary and your marmalade.
Didn't he thank Mummy in one of his Oscar speeches?
No, quite that far.
I only got to this place because I tasted that marmalade ice cream and I was 19.
Right, so another one for you.
Go on.
The ham and cheese toasty.
With marmalade.
Little thin spread of marmalade.
It's kind of like a chutney.
It's like a chutney.
Oh, Hilary, I love you.
Do you know what? It's so good.
That is good.
But literally 10 little ideas for marmalade with the marmalade recipe, because you know that you can only make marmalade. It's a very short season. The Seville oranges only come in between... sort of just after Christmas to mid-end of January.
I think
that's
we've
it.
Got yourself. Either you're on Saturday Kitchen as a regular host now, or you can have your own recipe book. I feel
like
that's fine.
I like
it. You know,
it.
You're
put
a bestseller. You're going to be a Sunday Times bestseller with this. So fuck it. You can go and do a cookbook next.
Do you know what I want to do? I want to do probably not a podcast because it's quite visual, but I would like to do a sort of YouTube series or something of recipes that actually don't quite turn out, but they're perfectly palatable. Because, you know, when you see everyone and they go, Jamie Oliver goes, oh, this is delicious, you know, and Greg Wallace goes, oh, it's heaven on a plate and all of that. And you think, yeah, it doesn't always necessarily turn out like that. And sometimes you have to sort of add a bit of chutney or add a bit of this just to make it work. Mm. And it's that thing of rescuing cookery.
Will you be execing that one?
I'll probably let her do that one on her own.
This is rice.
Oh,
it's
my goodness.
It's a rice cake.
That's amazing.
I was trying to work out
whether
it was sweet
or
savoury. And then I thought it may be a truckle of cheese.
No, I love it. Or a cheese
And it's rice.
Yeah, it's
very...
rice. Yeah, and so it's crunchy at the top.
Oh, I love
it. I love the idea of that.
But so do I.
I mean, I want to talk about you and your food. Because you've kind of gone into food and restaurants.
I think I always like cooking and I always like the idea of making food for people.
Yeah.
And that was definitely something that I got from my mum.
Were you a good host? Did you always have people around?
We had a lot. We used to... And I mean, I think that Lenny will appreciate this, that the thing that is called a dinner party has sort of disappeared.
Yeah.
People don't do dinner parties anymore. We did a lot of dinner parties when they were little.
And Hilary's cooking had to make up for Michael's personality. I was going to tell you a story about when I was at university and... Yeah. I was talking about my mum's influence and how I'd always liked cooking. And I arrived at university at Manchester and we moved into this student house, which was just like that house in Fresh Meat. It was just so
You made
grim.
Fresh Meat in Manchester, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, that was up there. And it was very similar, my lifestyle, to what it was like when I was an actual student. I lived there with my 5 mates. And we moved into this house and me being, you know, the upper middle class boy that I am, I was like, well, we've just moved into the new area. What we need to do is have a lovely drinks party to meet some of the neighbours. So I said, we'll throw a lovely drinks party and I'll do canapés because my mum does the most incredible canapés. So I called mummy. I was like, come on, give me some inspiration. Mm-hmm. What shall I do? And I put on the most amazing spread. We did, you know, the blinis with the gravers lax and sour cream.
Yeah,
this is, second year at uni.
Yeah.
When I've just moved into the student house. I think I roasted some beef and did a horseradish cream and the little miniature Yorkshire puddings. I made all of them from scratch. And we sent out all of these invites, which we then posted through all of the doors of the other student houses that were around us. And then on the night of the drinks party with the canapés, we waited and it got to about 7 o'clock. No ring on the doorbell. Got to about 8 o'clock. We're like, I don't think anyone's coming. Obviously, because we'd invited a load of students to a drinks party. The only neighbour that arrived was the house over the road, which it turned out was a halfway house, which was people coming out of prison. There was a lot of drug addicts. They were living in this house that was over the road. Obviously, we just moved into the area, so we didn't know that. They all turned up. It was like four or five of them. Some guy with no like teeth. A man that I think had just come out of like doing a 10-year stretch at a prison in Manchester. I was like, okay, so we've got lovely blinis here.
Did you ever do another drinks party after that?
No drinks party after that. I remember being in the kitchen talking to a lady and asking her what course she was on, and she said methadrone. And I told her that I was doing history of art. And I thought, this drinks party has not turned out how I was expecting it to turn
out. Which area in Manchester?
Fallowfield, where all of the students live.
I need to know about this restaurant that you have. Do you have a restaurant?
No. I did a pop-up restaurant.
And what was it called?
It was called Food Slut.
Yeah.
And it was a blog, Instagram page that I started during lockdown. Because obviously lockdown struck.
Where were you during lockdown?
I was at my house in my flat in Notting Hill with my brother. And my brother loves food. We both love cooking. And obviously all the work had suddenly dried up. So I was making a lot more food, and I was cooking with him, and we love kind of American style food, like quite big, hearty, like slow cooked meats and burgers, and you know, that's the kind of stuff that we were making. Also because I was like, I don't have to be on TV, so I can just eat go to fat.
Mixed meats.
It was a proper, like, you know, just I was a glutton for 3 months, and so me and him just made these dishes and had lots of fun and cooked a load of stuff that I would never have had time to have cooked had we not been in a lockdown and a pandemic. And then I was like, oh, well, I might as well document it on Instagram, so if I do come out the other end of lockdown looking like, you know, I've eaten myself, then at least people will know what I've been eating to get to that
stage.
Where
was the girlfriend? Was she with you at the same?
She was there.
Is she enjoying it? Does she love your cooking?
She's a pescatarian.
Nightmare.
Oh, my God. And we were, like, steaming meat and doing slow-cooked briskets and all manner of different things that I think she found quite appalling. There was a lot of having to open the windows and waft out the smell of meat.
But you did do a pop-up, no?
Yeah, we did do a pop-up, yeah.
It was successful.
Yeah, it was. So that was just
how
after.
Did you like that, dabbling with restaurateuring?
I mean, I'd love you to have a restaurant, Jack, because then Lenny and I can come and advise, hang out, cook.
Well, to be honest, I'm not a chef.
The spinach and stuff.
I'm good at the moment. Yeah.
I could work there as a greaser.
You'd be front of house.
I could be a greaser.
Yeah.
I could say yes, and they say, "Oh, I think we've got a table." Yes, your name? No, nothing there. Thank you. Next.
Jack, are you friends with The Rock?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
Oh, Jesse,
I guess so.
The one that you
from doing
do?
The film.
Well, no, I'm not going to do WWF right now.
Go on, darling.
The Rock says this, Jabroni.
Carter,
shut up, Jabroni. I'm not doing that right now. Thank you so much.
It's
okay. You know, but what was he like?
He was great.
He's big, isn't he?
Very big.
Is he as tall as you? Because you're very
Yeah,
tall.
I am about the same height as him.
Oh, so he's big and tall.
I still
tall.
Think he'd take me in a fight if it came to
I need to know, like, okay, so you have, you're doing Clifford.
Yeah.
You did Nutcracker.
Yeah.
You did Jungle Cruise. These are like real fam. My kids are going to be watching that on Disney Plus very soon.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to, because you're
I
great.
I love doing those
you're
films.
Brilliant.
They're great.
You're brilliant and you're funny and I love fresh meat. Do you want to do like a...
Something.
Do you want to do something completely opposite?
Do you know what? The last thing I did was like, I'd come off the back of doing Jungle Cruise and doing Clifford, which were obviously family movies and Clifford in particular. And when you're doing that, there are, you know, confinements to what you can do in terms of improvising and adding stuff to the script and the jokes that you can get away with. Mm. And so by the end of it.
Are you allowed to write this? Are you allowed to?
Yeah, you are.
In
you're definitely
script?
Allowed to, like, you know, impress your kind of personality on the script and improvise and come up with stuff.
Mm.
But you have to do it within the confines of this is a film that will be seen by families and this is going to go out on Disney Plus or this is, you know, going to have a certain rating. So it is quite hard. And by the end of it, I did slightly yearn for, you know, the days of fresh meat where you could just say whatever you liked. Mm. And the last film that I did was a film where it was, you know, 100% going to be R-rated. There was, you know, sex scenes. There was lots of inappropriate humour. And it was so much fun to be on a set and to be able to just be completely liberated and to make whatever jokes that I
liked.
Are you allowed
to talk about it? What is it?
It's called Robots. And it was me and Shailene Woodley. It was a sci-fi comedy. She's amazing. And a great, amazing sense of humour.
Has that been on?
No. I filmed it the last kind of 7-8 weeks.
She's lovely.
And I filmed it with the guy who wrote all of Sacha Baron Cohen's stuff. He's called Ant Hines, and he's worked with him for like 20 years. And so he has that kind of same sensibility and tone of humour. And I had such a laugh doing it. But it was really nice to be on a set and not worrying about, oh God, can I get away with that? I actually had a joke that was cut from Clifford. It was so funny. There was a scene where I play American in it, and the actress playing my sister is British in the film, so there's a quite funny meta scene where I take the mick out of her for speaking in an English accent and talk about how much better my life would have been if I'd had an English accent. And I did a load of improv where I'm improvising in sort of, you know, cod English accent, but doing my actual accent. And so I did it, and on the day just like threw everything at the wall, made loads of silly Harry Potter references and chucked in a load of like English slang that obviously no one on set understood. And people found it very funny. Cut to 6 months later, I was called in to do an additional ADR session. I'd already done all of my ADR, and they called me in. They said,
Explain
what ADR is. So ADR is when you go in after you've shot a film to add in all of the lines that they didn't quite pick up on the mic.
Additional dialogue recording.
You know, they'll have a shot at the back of your head and add a line because the plot doesn't make sense. But they said, we have to get you back in because there's one line that has got through all of the censors. And just before they were about to send the movie out to all of the cinemas and have it like wide released across the world, someone went, we should probably Google what that word is, and it was bollocks. And I had improvised in the scene getting the little girl to say bollocks, and I'd said bollocks. So, and then the little girl had repeated the word bollocks, and no one knew what bollocks meant. And I'd said it on the day, and I was like, obviously that's never going to end up in the actual film, but I was just saying it because it was funny in the moment, and her parents who were on set found it hilarious. And then 6 months later, I was called in, and there was all these Paramount executives. They're like, we're going to have to think of a word that looks like bollocks. The shape of your mouth, we can't get round the fact
you're... Balloons,
yeah. Or they had a load of words that they had to add in because I'd almost managed to get the word bollocks tucked into a kid's film.
Do you think that you've got a nice balance with... I mean, is it the end of Travels with My Father? Yeah, it's finished.
Probably, yeah. I think there might be something similar coming on. But Jack needs Hillary. I mean, who...
Is it going to be Travels with My Mother?
No, well, definitely not.
Could be.
Is that going to be the next Netflix
You match? Never know.
Travels with My Winston.
No, I think
what
I'll
I was going to
mad.
Say was that when Jack was hoping to get the part in Jungle Cruise...
Oh, yes, I'm still smarting.
Guess who read in...
That is true.
...as The Rock in his audition... tape or whatever they
so
were
everybody now self-tapes for parts you don't ever meet anybody so in Jack's kitchen we did the scenes for Jack's part and I played The Rock
and I wore daddy's clothes I borrowed his hat
we got props we did everything and I stood behind the camera being The Rock.
She did The Rock's voice.
I was bloody upset not to get the role. I mean, I'm big. I'm strong. Wait. Come on, McGregor. Come on.
I did the bit at the beginning of the audition where you have to do a thing called a slate where you say, you know, your details and information. I was like, my agent is CAA, my name is Jack Whitehall, and Hills was like, it doesn't matter what your name is. I was like, you've gone a little bit too far now, Hillary. You need to calm down.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're going to do this, but we ask every guest what their last supper would be. I don't know how you're going to kind of divvy this amongst all of you. Maybe one takes a starter, one takes a main, one takes a drink of choice.
What, we're not allowed to have our own last supper?
If you want to. Come on then, let's do this.
Who are we starting with?
You, Mother.
Okay, 100%. It would have to be something curried because Michael doesn't eat curry. So whenever I see a curry on any menu, I have it. That could mean even something like kedgeri. So the Wolseley kedgeri to
Does
die for.
Does anybody want a bit of tart?
Jack and I would... Yes, please. It's tart.
It's quince and apple.
Are they homegrown?
Well, they were, yeah. Friends.
Oh, bless. Thank you. Yes.
Lovely. I love kedgeree. It's just the most baffling dish. Like, if you explain fish, to an egg, American as well, it's like, oh yeah, we have this for breakfast every now and again. It's curry rice with eggs and haddock chopped up
into it.
Yeah,
it's fish, eggs and rice with curry. But actually, I would have it for dinner. But it would be some sort of
any time of the day. Brunch thing?
I don't know.
It's obviously sort of...
It's a like leftovers thing,
is,
surely.
Yeah,
right?
I think
okay,
it is.
Okay, so kedgeree. The Wolsey kedgeree. I need to try that. That's a good...
Wolsey kedgeree or a curry, any sort of curry, you know, Thai curry or a curry, you know, love it.
Their brunch is good.
Yeah, chopped salad's good.
I went for my 21st. Do you remember? I was so hungover, I couldn't eat any of the bloody eggs benedict. I was just like...
Well, there's a good dish, of course, the eggs benedict.
But not for your last meal.
No. It would have to be
something
curry.
Okay, that's... Is that your starter?
No, that's my... Just some sort of curry. A kedgeree or curry or... I'm fine. I'll have a bit of that. I'll finish that.
We'll just drink Michael's.
Are you a sweets person?
No, I'm very much savoury, actually. Love
like,
savoury.
Do you not want this?
No, I will take that.
This is what my mother
says. Take it away.
Sorry, you've gone to so much trouble, Lenny. Of course I'm going to taste it.
So, Michael.
You're looking all worried.
No, I'm not worried.
Okay, so your Last Supper.
My Last Supper, no starters, because I don't have a big enough appetite. Right. After I've had it, probably ice cream, sorbet at the end. And the main course would be Welsh lamb, roast Welsh lamb.
Yeah, roast Welsh lamb.
Could be those little cutlets which I quite like. You chop off and then put them and then
Sorry,
you have...
Sorry, can I just say, Lenny, cutlet, nightmare to cook. But cutlets, anyway, yeah.
So Welsh lamb cutlets.
Yeah. And Jack, what is your last supper?
I would start with cured mackerel fillets with torched skin, with maybe a horseradish cream, possibly with a little bit of buttered sourdough on the side. Then I'd have a slow-cooked lamb shank, dauphinoise potato, haricot vert with lots of butter again, and I'd finish with a sticky toffee pudding with clotted cream.
I mean,
very decisive.
You clearly haven't thought about this.
Well, lastly, yes, table manners. Do you think you've got good table manners, the Whitehalls?
I mean, you've already covered one little issue that I have, which is boarding school hangover, which is that the minute the plate hits the table in front of Jack, he's off.
And I think that's really a compliment. I like that.
I also eat cutlery the wrong way around with my...
Oh, you have your knife and fork.
Are you left-handed? Knife and fork
the
wrong way around.
Nope, just always have. That's what my husband does. It makes sense to me that you wouldn't have the fork in the right hand all of the time, because that's the one you use the most.
You're essentially
I never
an
put
American.
My napkin over my lap.
But can you cut with your left hand?
He's managed it.
Yeah. Well, absolutely nailed it tonight. You didn't see that technique. That lamb was in ribbons.
Some jaw clamped.
I eat with my mouth open.
With his mouth open.
The washing machine. So I would say I have really bad.
We're both mouth breathers.
Do we want to put that into the world? Let's not refer to ourselves as that. We're mouth breathers that sleep in the same bed.
Do you snore?
I do, sorry.
I do too.
Yes, so
what a terrible image to leave
Look,
them on.
Look, I need a new boyfriend. And when my granddaughter sleeps with me, she goes, Grandma, you didn't snore last night. And I say, I can have a boyfriend. She goes, do you want one? Like that. She's five.
Guys, thank you so much for doing this.
Can I just say the one other thing is that Mr. Whitehall has impeccable manners, because whenever I serve supper for us together, I serve him first and then he will always wait. And I say, do start. It's hot. Don't let it get cold. No, I'll wait for you.
He's a gent. Would you like to take a little lamb home?
I mean...
We could have some in bed together.
You do love a doggy bag.
I love a doggy bag. I mean,
some
I'm
rice
get,
and lamb.
I literally would love it.
Because you might have it later.
Yes, am I? Yes.
It'll be, heated through, as they say.
Oh, I'd love to know if you did have it late. That was lovely.
I'll take a picture to prove it.
We need proof.
I will.
Gram.
Yes.
Good luck with the book. You don't need it. You're going to be Sunday Times bestsellers. And it's very, very reassuring to see family dynamics so similar to my own.
Yeah.
And
Can I just say there's some very big handy hints in that book about holidays?
About Hollandaise.
She tried to get Hollandaise in.
Hollandaise.
That was
I love you. Oh my God. I love you.
Is actually.
Jessie, well, listen, we need marmalade, so look.
Well, I'm just saying, the only thing that's missing is the marmalade recipe.
Well, Mum, you've now got a new friend.
Darling.
Very good fun.
She's so sweet.
And Michael?
Not as much of a curmudgeon as I thought he was going to be.
Dry-witted.
Very funny.
Thank you so much to Jack, Hilary and Michael for coming over. I don't think Michael knew. At the end he was like, what is this called? but he enjoyed the chit-chat. He enjoyed his nuts and his champs. And I have to say, the tart-tatin, the apple and tart, the apple, sorry,
apple
the apple
and quince
tart-tatin was very delicious.
I made it up.
You pioneer.
I know.
Did you not
like the lamb?
I thought maybe it needed a little bit more gravy.
Darling, it's not supposed to have gravy. Otto Lengi does not serve gravy.
Maybe because you've got a cold, it wasn't seasoned properly. Maybe that's why.
I couldn't taste anything, and I think
the
rice...
The cat wants it.
Fuck off, you little shit.
RSPCA will be here soon. that was, it was very, very fun. Loved chatting. Loved that you've got a new friend.
Yeah. Jessie, do you like my dress?
I do.
Wallace sent it to me.
Stop.
They sent me presents.
Mum,
they
you've
sent me
made
two
it.
Dresses.
You've bloody made it.
We're waiting for the call from Stella and Victoria now.
Mum, don't stop. Look, you'll always have Wallace.
I love Wallace. It's fabulous. Cut.
Look at
comfy.
You in your little tea dress. All right.
Made an effort.
Gorgeous. Thank you for listening. Go and listen to, well, you can either listen to, I'm sure they've done an audio book, but the book is out now.
They didn't sign it.
Oh, shit.
Shit, never mind.
It's called How to Survive Family Holidays.
By Jack Whitehall, with additional help from Hilary and Michael.
But yeah, wait for Holidays to come out, How to Survive Holidays, Family Holidays. That will be coming. And also the marmalade tip was very... Marmalade ice cream is a really good idea.
You can flavour anything with anything, can't you?
Yeah, but you didn't think of that one, Mum. Let Hilary have that one, thank you
very much.
All
right, Hilary can have it.
Anyway, thank you for listening and we'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.